Hi, this is Mark Brunelli, news editor of SearchOracle.com, and joining me today is Peter Finnegan, who is the principal consultant and head of database security with Siemens Insight. And Pete is also a well-known Oracle security researcher and blogger. You can view his blog at www.petefinnegan.com, and spelled like it sounds. And Pete, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Mark. Thanks very much for having me.
Pete, you recently published a white paper detailing some weaknesses in Oracle's structured query language, or PL/SQL. Could you give us a brief overview of the nature of this problem as you see it?
Yeah, it's actually in PL/SQL, which is the procedural extension to the SQL language, Oracle's structured query language. Basically, Oracle released quite some years ago a tool to enable developers to wrap any PL/SQL source code. The idea behind this is that you may have some source code that implements some intellectual property as part of your business, and you don't want your competitors or customers to look at that intellectual property. So Oracle provided this tool called Wrap. But initially it was described as encryption, I believe. Well, I've not checked this for some time. But it's really not encryption. And I released a paper describing how this wrap process works and showing that it's in effect that it's actually a very weak wrap process. And although it's not trivial to get the source code back, it is quite simple to get the source code back. Basically, what they've done is that they've used the intermediate language of the intermediate state of the compiler. PL/SQL is based on the ADA language, and when ADA was originally written, it used an intermediate structure called Diana. And what Oracle have done is used the Diana as the wrapped PL/SQL source code. But unfortunately, when the guys who invented ADA and Diana invented it, they actually developed it so that ADA could the Diana within ADA could be used instead of the ADA for in tools, for instance, for pretty printers or editors. To save having to go back to the original source code or down to the machine code. It's obviously the intermediate language of a compiler as well. The problem is that part of the original design spec for Diana is that it's easy. It would be easy to reconstruct the source code. This is because there's a one-to-one mapping almost between PL/SQL language constructs and the Diana. So once you understand how it works, and you can work out the mapping between the two, you can actually get the source code back. Then to compound matters, Oracle actually released interface programs to the Diana with the database that had been there for years. And they also released a program to help developers of client applications that were using an earlier version of PL/SQL to access later features in the database. Basically, it's called a stub. You have to create a stub for a procedure. And this function that generates the stub actually reads the Diana to generate the PL/SQL source code. So what Oracle have actually done is released an example of how a PL/SQL unwrapper would work. So that's a sort of a brief overview of the problem.
It sounds like a design problem. It's not something that can be easily patched. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously in 9i and lower. In 10g, the wrap mechanism is different. We'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah, I mean, it's a design decision that's been made years ago when PL/SQL was first created because they used ADA as a building block. So they started with ADA and added the SQL extensions to PL/SQL to make it into PL/SQL. And obviously they used Diana. And the decision to use the Diana as the wrap mechanism is obviously made a long time ago, and it's inherent to the language. It would be not very easy, to patch the problem. In 10G, the wrap mechanism is actually completely different. The wrap mechanism for 10G is not public. It's actually there is a post on the forums.oracle.com, if it hasn't been removed, that states that it's made up of Base64 and Unix Compress. It's actually a bit more complicated than that, but it is better in some senses in that you can't see the strings within the PL/SQL source code anymore. But quite clearly, if you understand how it works, it's actually weaker.
So worst-case scenario with these weaknesses out there, what's the worst that could happen to a DBA or a DBA's company? Sort of real-world?
The real-world problems are really twofold. there's a problem for Oracle because there are unwrapping tools out there. People have developed unwrapping tools already for 10G and for 9i and lower, and they're using these tools to find bugs in built-in packages that Oracle have shipped. You'll see these as the whole rafts of SQL injection problems that are fixed in the CPUs regularly. Most of these are actually bugs in the built-in packages. For instance, in DBMS metadata, there was one recently. Somebody has found that there's a SQL injection bug in there, and they found that because they've unwrapped the source code that Oracle have shipped wrapped. So it makes it a lot easier to find bugs in Oracle's shipped source code. And for a customer of Oracle, obviously the big problem is that if they do have intellectual property that they don't want competitors to steal or customers to steal, or if they've implemented some code that, for instance, encrypts credit cards, and the key is within the PLSQL function. If somebody has an unwrapper, they can unwrap it, understand the encryption algorithm that they've used, and quite easily just get the credit card numbers back. So there's a number of different problems, really.
Have you seen any examples of anybody exploiting these problems?
Not in terms of anyone exploiting it for profit, for instance, or hacking a system, but quite clearly there are a number of individuals who are using unwrappers to find security bugs in Oracle. That's in sort of the white hat community. Therefore, you have to assume that people in the black hat community are also using the same tools, whether to find bugs, which they then use those bugs to exploit Oracle, or to directly steal something. I've not seen any direct cases of this happening.
I see. So in light of this problem, what can Oracle DBAs or admins do to address the issue?
There is no easy fix. This is because basically when you compile up a PLSQL procedure with 9i, for instance, it also stores the Diana in some intermediate tables in the database. These are called the IDL dollar tables. And for simple procedures, even in 10G where the wrapping mechanism has changed, PLSQL is still compiled into Diana and then compiled into the machine code. So it's still possible to reverse the Diana even in 10G for simple things. In 10G and in 9i, the Diana isn't stored in the IDL tables for all types of PLSQL. For instance, package bodies are not stored in those tables. So clearly one step you can take is to write all your PLSQL in packages and ship the package bodies, because then the Diana isn't stored in the database. The problem is that the Diana is stored in the database for 9i and earlier, because the source code, when a package procedure is wrapped, is stored in the source dollar table, which is where all the PLSQL source code is stored, and that's actually Diana. So if you can read it from the database, you can then unwrap it if you've got a tool that will do that. The same applies with 10G. If you look at the source code table, sys.source$ in 10G, again, you can read the wrapped source code, and if you've got a tool to unwrap it, you can still get at it. So even if you took the option of not shipping the source code to the server, for instance, quite often companies will ship the source code files, leave them on the server somewhere in the database tree, for instance, then install them, and they're there. You know, you might think, okay, don't ship the source code files so somebody can't steal the source code files, even if they're wrapped, and unwrap them. Problem is that the source code's in the database as well. So if somebody gains access to the database as a high enough user, they can read the source code table in sys.source$. So I guess that's virtually impossible to fix, because if you've got DBA level privileges, you'll still be able to read the source code and then unwrap it if you've got a tool. So if somebody was determined enough, they'd still be able to do it.
Okay. Oracle's patching process, and in particular its quarterly critical patch updates, have been the target of a lot of criticism lately. What do you think is the major problem here, and what does Oracle need to do to fix it?
From my point of view of watching from afar this process that occurs every 3 months and making comments in my blog, it's quite clear that Oracle have obviously taken a lot of steps in the right direction. We should actually congratulate them, but they are improving, that's clear. It's clear from recent press, from some of the guys in the Oracle security team, that they're actually getting a lot more friendly towards the researchers and being a lot more proactive. I listened to Marianne Davidson, who's the Oracle CSO, speak in Seattle earlier this year, and I was really heartened to hear some of the things she was saying. She was standing up and admitting the problems and saying what they were doing to fix it. I thought that was great, that she was actually being proactive. And that seems to not just have been a one-off. That does seem to be changing. It's clear from the number of fixes released in every patch update that there are still a lot of bugs out there. If they're fixing like 70, 80 bugs, 90, I think, in the previous two patches ago, I think it was 92, was it, something like that. Clear, that's too many security bugs. Also, there seems to be a problem in that there are a lot of bugs that are not getting fixed quickly enough, because this is the criticism you hear from some security researchers.
Sure.
But I guess probably the underlying problem is they just don't have enough people in the team to do the testing and fixing of security bugs. I've heard that Oracle are actually training all the developers on security practices, secure coding, and so on. They've obviously bought this tool, Fortify, and they're scanning the C source code. I heard something said from someone that they were actually going to develop a PLSQL version of that. I'm not sure if that's true or not. That would be useful. I think they could improve greatly if what they did was released all of the built-in packages in clear text, unwrapped. Let everyone have a look at them, find the bugs. You might get a sudden upsurge of security bugs, but once they're fixed, that'll stop, basically, because there won't be any more to find. It's like the open source ethos, really. I think the underlying problem is, I guess, that they probably don't have enough people in their team to work on it, to fix it.
So, but overall, you think Oracle is definitely making some strides in improving
this? Well, I don't know if you'd call it strides, but they're certainly getting better, definitely. Yeah.
Good, good. Okay, well, in the past, Oracle has had a reputation for providing a safe and secure database management platform. Is this still true today, and why or why not?
I think you need to clarify that, really. I mean, are you talking about the certifications?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess that depends on your perception of what a certification means. Just because a piece of software has a certification and Oracle has the reputation for having the most certifications doesn't mean that it's secure, unfortunately. Because that's basically like, it's like passing your driving test, isn't it? You learn to pass a driving test, but that doesn't mean you can drive a car expertly. It's the same sort of problem, really. I guess the big problem with Oracle is there are sort of two main classes of security problem. There are the stuff that bug finders find, things like SQL injection problems or buffer overflows, the stuff that's fixed by a patch. Then there's this whole big raft of problems that are to do with configuration and privileges within the database, which they're still security issues, but they're not classed in the same, they're not in the same class as a buffer overflow, for instance. They're harder to fix, and they're harder to cover by a certification as well, because you get so much different types of software, different installations of Oracle, that most of the databases I look at in terms of auditing are wide open. And primarily most of the issues are around the configuration side, because if you've patched it, then it's as secure as it can be from recent bugs that have been found. The biggest problem is in the configuration area. Certification, in my opinion, doesn't cover that.
Well, I guess that sort of leads into my next question, my final question.
Yeah.
Pete, what are some of the biggest security problems facing Oracle DBAs today? And, you know, what do you see coming down the road? And what can they do to, you know, be on top of these things?
I think there's two issues, really. I think when I started looking at Oracle security, probably, I don't know when I started, really. In earnest, probably I started about 6 years ago. Before that, I'd been interested in it quite a lot. No one was really interested in database security. There was very little written about it on the internet, books. There were probably only two books at that point, I think. Now that's changed. There are lots of books about database security and Oracle security in particular. There are obviously quite a lot of websites talking about it regularly. Obviously, your website's doing the same. I think the perception is changing. People used to think by sticking a firewall up, that would protect everything within an infrastructure, within an organization. Clearly, everyone's starting to recognize now that the threat is not from outside, from some kid sat in his bedroom. The threat is internal, quite often. And people are beginning to realize that they need to secure the database. Quite often, I go look at databases, and the people proudly tell me beforehand that it's secure. We've done loads of work on securing it. I look at it, and it's wide open. I think it's a problem of perception, really. I think it's a problem of training and perception. Mm-hmm. That a lot of this stuff isn't rocket science. You know, it's quite simple when you break it down to the individual pieces. You know, it's just changing a parameter, revoking a privilege, or whatever. I think it's really getting into a mindset. A DBA needs to get into a certain mindset to understand how a hacker might think and how they might go about stealing identities or stealing credit card numbers or whatever. I think when you implement a database or an application, you need to understand which data in that database somebody might want to steal. And then you need to do your best in terms of defense in depth to actually protect that. You need to, you know, build layers, use encryption, look at the privileges, the RBAC settings that have been used, look at the general hardening of the database, and then look at network security and Oracle network security based on top of that. I think one of the problems with Oracle security particularly is the fact that every release of Oracle, the database gets bigger and bigger, and one of the problems is most of the stuff is shipped wide open out of the box. So you get a database, all these features are installed, and they're there so that people can use them without any further configuration. That's a problem for security. It's not a problem for people wanting to develop applications. And I think that has to change also. I think you really need a locked-down version of Oracle that is locked down out of the box with most of the features not installed unless you specifically choose to install them, and then you choose to open them up as well. So I guess it's an education thing, really.
That's great. So sort of go the extra mile and stay educated.
Yeah, I think the key thing really is to start to understand that you need to protect the data. It's no good relying on firewalls and virus protection and email protection, spam protection, all this sort of stuff. And you need to actually consider the security risks of the data itself. You know, people want to steal data, basically. They don't really want to gain access to your Unix box, for instance. You know, they have a purpose nowadays. They actually want to steal identities, or they want to steal credit card numbers, or they want to steal your client base or something like that. I think you've really got to start, it's education really to start with, understanding what people might want to steal and understanding how somebody might want to steal it. Then you can think about securing it.
Pete, once again, it's been enlightening talking to you, and thank you for joining us today.
That's great. Thanks very much.
And if anybody out there is interested in learning more about Oracle security, you can go to Pete Finnegan's blog at www.petefinnegan.com, or you can come to our site, www.searchoracle.com. Have a nice day, everybody. Bye-bye.